The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
It's Victor Dandridge, the hardest working man in comics, and you are listening to PVD Cast with John Orlando. Guys, I'm telling y'all it's the best thing on the entire interweb. Listen long, listen strong. John, it's all you, man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 338. I hope all is well with you and your friends and your family, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. This past weekend, the WWE presented one of two pay-per-view specials this month, and of course I'm talking about Money in the Bank. The second event is, of course, the big one for the summer, which is SummerSlam, one of the original four pay-per-views. But Money in the Bank took place, and I wanted to kind of just discuss it a little bit, discuss the good, the bad, the ugly. So I made a call to friend of the show and podcaster extraordinaire himself, Gerald Glassford. I said, hey, Gerald, come on, let's talk about Money in the Bank. Let's discuss it. Let's tear it apart. Let's analyze it and whatnot. And Gerald said, absolutely. And you know what? You need to check out Gerald's podcasts. He has, of course, the Lakers Fast Break podcast that he does, as well as the Pop Culture Cosmos, which comes out twice a week on Fridays and on Mondays. Definitely check out Gerald's stuff. Again, just go to popculturecosmos.com, and I believe there's links to Lakers Fast Break and everything right there, including links to his social media as well. But I'm looking forward to talking about Money in the Bank with Gerald, but I have a couple of bookings myself that I'd like to plug real quickly. That's right, next week is going to be a busy week for yours truly, as I have two wrestling shows I'm going to be calling the action on. The first one will take place Thursday, July 14th, as New Ohio Wrestling returns to action as part of Full Throttle Thursdays at the Fortress in Obetz, Ohio. For those of you that don't know, the Fortress is a cool athletic complex in the southeastern part of Columbus. 6 o'clock is when things will kick off. All of the champs are going to be there defending their titles. The NOW heavyweight champion, Marion Fontaine, Superman Onyx, the Arnold Classic champion, and of course, Warhorse, the tag team champions, plus a host of other great action on tap. So if you want to get some more information, just check out at New Ohio Wrestling on Facebook or on Instagram. It's New Ohio Wrestling, no G on Twitter, and newohiowrestling.com. If you're in the Central Ohio area and you want to come and check it out, or heck, man, maybe, you know, I'm just going to suggest this. Maybe you want to make a road trip if you're outside the state of Ohio. And the reason why I say that is 48 hours after NOW, there's another great wrestling event that's taking place in the north end of Columbus. That is, of course, Ohio Wrestling Alliance Presents Retaliation. It takes place at the King of Clubs Complex, 8 p.m. start time. The man that has all the gold, the OWA champion AC Mack, returns and has a rematch with the former champion Trey Lamar. PME is going to do battle with two veterans of Ring of Honor, Rhett Titus and Eli Isom. The big Kaiju O'Shea Edwards is going to be there. So is Damian Chambers, Darius Luttrell, plus a whole host of other great action. Check out Ohio Wrestling A1 on all the social medias, and you can get information on tickets and whatnot. Like I said, it's the 16th, it's the 14th. You could come out, make a long weekend in Central Ohio, catch some great wrestling on Thursday the 14th, then catch some great wrestling on the 16th, which is Saturday. Again, come on out, support indie pro wrestling, even if you don't come to Ohio. Support it in your state, wherever that might be. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my sponsor, of the PVD cast. That, of course, is World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And listen, I say it all the time that if you need a comic book store to call your own, to go and spend your hard-earned dollars, to go get your favorite comics, then you need to check out World's Greatest Comics. I mean, they've got plenty of single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles. They have hundreds and hundreds of back issues. They got everything you need for your fandom. So, as I mentioned, you can stop by the store, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, or you can check them out online, wgcomics.com, or find them on Facebook, search for @WGComics. And if you take me up on that idea for a road trip to see some great wrestling action next week, you should put it on your itinerary, of course, to stop by World's Greatest Comics and say hello to Jeff and the fine folks over there, because I appreciate their support. And with that, it's time for me to take a quick break, and then on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Gerald Glassford as we analyze Money in the Bank. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I'm sitting down with Gerald Glassford. Gerald, how you been, man?
I'm doing okay, my friend. Always good to hear from you. Thanks so much for inviting me back on the show. I thought it was on a ban of some kind. I didn't know. I know that, you know, the red carpet is always open to you and you keep frequenting it, and I always appreciate it when you do. But I'm glad that the ban has been lifted, imaginary or otherwise, and I'm just thankful to be back on the show once again.
Well, it's great having you back on, and we're going to discuss the last pay-per-view, or whatever they're called nowadays. I don't know what their fancy term is. They're still
pay-per-views. Somebody somewhere pays for it. I'm sure of that.
There you go. Okay.
Maybe the fans pay for it in some form or fashion when they watch, you know, some of the matches that are on it. But yeah, I digress.
There might be a hidden tax in your subscription to Peacock that you're unaware of. That's probably exactly. That's where they get us. Well, nonetheless, Money in the Bank, the last WWE pay-per-view, took place this past weekend in your hometown, Gerald. Yes. You did not go, correct?
No. In a weekend where you have the UFC, which was much more hyped up, and I think this goes back to what we were talking about just before we went on the air. I think your results of the show are going to be somewhat mixed when you have these grandiose plans of being in Allegiant Stadium, the football stadium where the Raiders play, like you were last year for, I think it was SummerSlam. And you come back, you're going to go ahead and be Allegiant Stadium, everything's going great, and you're wondering why the tickets aren't exactly selling like hotcakes. And the fact is that you ran the same day as UFC. Not the brightest thing in the world to do when UFC actually owns this town pretty much, you know, because it's so popular. And of course, everybody saw from what was happening and what was trending on Twitter and Facebook and Google and all that, that you saw UFC dominate the headlines. And WWE was, I'm sure, doing great. They did do, you know, as far as 17,000 plus in the MGM Grand Garden Arena. And I think that's called a win under these circumstances. In fact, Vince McMahon even had time to go across the street and check out the main event of the UFC, which I thought was kind of funny and amusing in and of its own way. But yeah, overall, it was all right. But again, as I told you before the show, when the best match of the weekend actually took place on Monday night, that tells you something right there. But you see the directions, things where it's headed. And I know that it's not just with me and you when we talk about this. It's not just the matches that are concerned. It's the storylines of what is being presented going forward. And I think there's, with the recent signings that the WWE has made, including one big glaring one that got a 5-year contract, I think that that's something that we need to discuss alongside the results of just what we're talking about with Money in the Bank.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing that I felt was a very smart move for this pay-per-view was not overloading the pay-per-view like they like to do. WWE used Money in the Bank as a way to promote SummerSlam. And you didn't see AJ Styles. You didn't see Roman. You didn't see Brock. You didn't see Miz. You didn't see all these people that historically in the past would have been shoehorned in, that there would have been AJ Styles versus Ridge Holland, for an example, just a complete throwaway SmackDown match with very little build. They didn't do that.
Yes.
They decided to say, we got two pay-per-views this month. We're gonna use one to drive more people to watching SummerSlam, hopefully, if that's what the plan
angle.
Is. Yeah, sure. So I thought they were very smart in that. I thought that was a wonderful idea. So whoever came up with that, kudos to you, whomever that may be.
But it allows also as well for the matches themselves to play out. And not saying that they were bad matches anyway. In fact, you know, they were quite good. They were, again, I think they could have achieved a even higher level. But still, they were really solid matches. And a lot of it is due to, like you said, the fact that they were able to lengthen itself out and play itself out because you didn't overload the card.
Correct. Well, let's talk about the matches individually. Let's start off with the match that kicked things off, which was the Women's Money in the Bank matchup. Got to give credit. I think it was smart to have Liv Morgan win. I think that there's been a lot of starts and stops with her in her career and in her pushes. So I'm glad to see that they finally gave her the ball to run with it. It's someone new. It's someone unexpected. I thought the finish was kind of cool. I overall thought this was an okay Money in the Bank match. There were some things that I guess you could say work rate, for lack of a better term, wasn't that great. But overall, it was decent.
There was a botch there with Shotzi. I know that she's been getting a lot of flack online for, especially on Twitter. It got to the point where she actually had to call it out and deactivate her Twitter account over. I know that was something that a lot of people stuck out. But to me, it speaks of what is going on in the WWE, because you have a level of wrestler in the women's division, which are very technically sound, very clean, very fluid, and actually are very good with their transitions, and everything looks good at what they do. I mean, the level of what we see with, like I said before, all the time, Becky Lynch, Asuka, Charlotte Flair, when she's there, you see there's a level of wrestlers, Rhea Ripley. You may even want to include Bianca Belair. I think she's getting into that point where she's becoming very clean in the ring, and she's becoming very good at what she's doing in the ring. And then you have some wrestlers that are very popular, like Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, who will be again given the chance to run with it, as Liv Morgan is now. That the only things that you see wrong are the fact that they're not 100% clean in the ring. There's some will not exactly achieve that level of technicals, soundness that you want, but they do have the fans behind them and support behind them, so you have to take notice of that. I think with Liv Morgan, her matches are not always the cleanest in the world and most technically sound, but her popularity, even when she was put in a position of the mid-card and she was doing the jobs for several other wrestlers, she was still considered very popular. So I agree with you. This is a fresh face that I'm going to give it a try. Hey, it's your turn to run to the ball. Let's see if you can go ahead and do it. So I do like the fact that they are giving someone new a chance in this equation. I'm worried about her matches being technically sound. It depends all, again, exactly who she's in the ring with. Because we saw when you have a wrestler like Natalya, for instance, who's been in the WWE forever and is very technically sound, but is not really over with the public to the level I think some of the other women's wrestlers are, it still can create yourself a very solid match like she did with Ronda Rousey. You got to make sure that you have with Liv Morgan the same thing, a very technically sound wrestler, and then you can really get a good match from it. If you don't, then you might have issues. And we saw in that Women's Money in the Bank match, when you don't have all the wrestlers working with each other well enough, you can see the botches. And then, of course, what happens with the fallout thereafter.
Well, and let's just go ahead and move on to a little bit later in the show, because I think that we would be, people listening at home know by now what happened. But let's go ahead to that. You know, you mentioned Natalya, and I feel like, Gerald, I actually feel this was the best match on the show. Rousey,
it was really solid.
And Natalya. But as you mentioned, the fans did not care. They were number one.
Well, they don't believe Natalya. They've seen her just all over the mid-card and lower card for so many years. They don't believe that there's any chance that she was going to win that title. And that's something that the WWE booking has created, not something that she's done, because she's obviously worked very well. And again, she's just that veteran. She's that, what as they say in the business, the hand. You know, mm-hmm. that she's that hand that can give you a quality match, but is never really put in a position to shine that people can go ahead and get behind her 100% and believe that she's going to go ahead and and be at that next level, if that makes sense.
Well, and I also think this match was placed in a very bad spot. You came from the Usos and the Street Profits with their match. I'm going to save my opinion on that match for a little bit later, but that match was what it was. It was very exciting. And I think that the crowd was dead. The crowd was dead until we got the big surprise at the end where Liv comes out and cashes in the briefcase.
Yeah. If that doesn't create a pop, I don't know what will, because that always creates a pop.
Oh, correct. And if it didn't, then you know you done messed up with putting the spotlight on Liv on that particular stage. But she cashes in, she wins the belt. And so, you know, to go on with what I said earlier, it's great to have a new face. And now not only do we have a new face with the Money in the Bank briefcase, but now we have a new face for somebody with the SmackDown title.
Yes, but still it leads to the point that you and I have said on the Cosmos, and that they should just merge the titles. You already have the men merging their titles. You already have the women, their tag team titles, the men's tag team titles. They're all merged. Why not have the women's? Why do you prolong this out? It just seems kind of weird that we don't have a unification match. So that's what we should have at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Won't happen.
No, it's not going to happen, but that would be great. Although, you know what? If we're going to talk about somebody that's got that technical prowess, I don't know if Liv and Bianca Belair would be a great match. I am a fan of podcasts. I do enjoy Jeff Jarrett's podcast. One thing, as I was listening to it earlier this morning, he was talking about when you have a face champion, when the babyface will win that title, you automatically have to have two or three villains ready to go. Ready to go. You cannot build those villains. They got to be able to step right in and be able to chase that belt and maybe take that belt away from the babyface.
But when you look at the SmackDown women's roster, do you see that?
No, that's exactly where I was going. I don't see that at all, which is a major problem.
It seems like they need to go ahead and shake things up. I mean, like yesterday in regards to that. But, you know, with doing a three-way, if you wanted to do a three-way to unify the titles, let's say, I mean, and you said because you wanted another hand in there, the most likely candidate you would want to have storyline-wise would be Ronda Rousey to fit in this mix. And unfortunately, Ronda Rousey is not going to help you with a clean match in that type of situation. They're both benefiting from when they have an experienced veteran in the ring. I think Bianca Belair can get to that point where she can become that really superior individual in the ring and one of the best in the world at doing. I think she's well on her way to doing it. Like you're alluding to, you may think she's not there yet, but I think that point where we'll be where she can be. But even if that's the case, you're right. There's still problems with that. Liv Morgan, a lot of people behind her, fresh new face. That's great that she has a title. Can she go ahead and have skilled matches? And I think that's the point. And we're at a question right now. I mean, that's the thing where you've got a lot of the talent on the Raw side, which is great for Raw, on the women's side, because you've got Ripley, you've got Asuka, you've got Becky Lynch, you've got Alexa Bliss, you've got a lot of talented names that have held the title before in the past. And on the SmackDown side, you just don't have those kind of names that people are going to believe that, are they going to have a good match, and are they going to win the match too? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So you've created a kind of a little conundrum there, my friend, after Ronda Rousey. It's like, who do you have next to go ahead and face off Liv Morgan if you wanted to go ahead and continue with the title?
Exactly. All right, let's talk about another title match. That was the second match on the pay-per-view. Bobby Lashley wins the U.S. title from Austin Theory.
And okay, I thought this was... Theory, just Theory.
Just the... I still call him Matt Riddle. I still call him Austin Theory. I still call Chad Gable when he was that stupid, what was he, Mikey 2G or whatever his silly, stupid rapper name was. Look, Theory, we'll go with that. But I thought this was a really great match, too. I thought this match told a very good story. I liked it. And I'm very high on Austin Theory. I think he does indeed have what it takes to be a superstar in the WWE for decades.
I am not going to dispute that. I think he's very talented. I don't think he's yet on the mic with, you know, others around him. I think people are starting to compare him and MJF I think those are getting louder and louder as far as one on one side, one or the other. I think that MJF still in the end, if you actually, you know, said, okay, which one do you think is going to have the brighter future? I'd probably say of the two, MJF, but theory is well on this way. I agree with you. It's very apparent with the way that they structured the Money in the Bank pay-per-view that they are alluding to theory as being something long-term for them. Yeah, they took the title off for him, but you could see that coming where you could see where it was coming as far as, okay, they're going to take the title off him, but that there's bigger plans for Austin Theory down the road. And yes, I'm going to use two names when it comes to that. So yes, it's okay. I was just chiding you earlier.
I'm glad we're in unison on that. Cause I
can't stand it.
Let's move on. We've talked about this young lady a few times already. Bianca Belair does defeat Carmella. This match was supposed to be, if I remember correctly, it was supposed to be Bianca versus Rhea Ripley, correct?
Yes, but I think there was some COVID issues or some type of health concerns that, or maybe a concussion. Yeah, I think it was
concussion issues
that had her off of the card. And I think that's something that they'll revisit. Rhea Ripley, I'm not going to dispute, has done a great job as far as since she's been in the WWE. I think that she has a fine future, regardless, of what many people say, one way or the other. I think she's got a great future. I think, what she's going to do as a heel or a face, it doesn't really matter because I think she does have a lot of talent. And I think, again, I put her at that level as far as I've seen her work enough times to realize that you get her in the ring with some other individuals out there and she can lead them to a good match. And I think that's something, again, where you have that separation of talent between those who can provide you with a very good watchable match and those that need a lot of help in doing it or some help in doing it. And I think we all know by now exactly who is who on that scale when you watch the WWE product.
Thoughts real quickly on, because we haven't discussed this, but thoughts real quickly on Edge's group. That originally was Edge, and of course,
the
Judgment Day. Thank you. It skipped my mind for a minute. The Judgment Day. What were your thoughts on this group that started off one way and then they had to do a whole 180 on it? What's your thoughts on the Judgment Day?
Well, it looks like, again, I know that Edge didn't want to go down the darker path that the WWE writers wanted to go ahead down, and I think that's basically killed the momentum for the actual group. I mean, I think I like the lineup better as far as for the future going forward with Finn Balor and Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley. I like that trio working together as a unit, but you've already kind of killed the gimmick due to either injury or due to decisions made. I think that's something you should have done in the first place and not had Edge involved in it whatsoever or at least plan it out. Because if you're already starting the works with it, and then all of a sudden you ask Edge, okay, we want to go down this path, and Edge is saying, I don't want to go down that path anymore in my life. And it's like, that's just poor planning on your part. And I think you might have killed the group before it's even started, because right now you're just, okay, you're on with the Mysterios, and the Mysterios, they're, as much as I love Rey Mysterio in the ring, and he's just been such a great part of the history, he is not at the level he once was, him and his son. And right now the Judgment Day is just garnering no heat or interest at all for the fans at large. And the fact that you couldn't even remember it kind of leads me to believe. Yeah. That just leads me to my point right there. It's just that it was something that had a lot of promise, just like Retribution, just like some other groups in the past 5 years that they've came up with that were pretty good ideas that they just have to stick to. But the fact is, you've got too many chefs working in that WWE kitchen. And when you do that, you're actually losing a lot of things like that in regards to what could work and what cannot. And that's just a bigger thing as far as a discussion I'd love for you to have with me in regards to the future where we're going with the WWE.
And I would love to come on the Pop Culture Cosmos and talk about that.
Well, talk about it here, man.
We could. In fact, let's talk about the Pop Culture Cosmos real quick. Okay. Where can folks find your great podcast?
Well, we can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Right there, it should be. Okay. Every single outlet out there that covers podcasts that should have one associated with it. It should be suggested. You know what? For every PVD cast, it should have in the suggested pop culture cosmos and vice versa. Right? Should be. We have to start a petition. But Pop Culture Cosmos covers the latest news and information from the world of pop culture. I have great guests on talking everything from movies, television, streaming, films, collectibles, of course, pro wrestling, because you're on it all the time, and so much more, including some cooking I did as far as a good friend of mine for Barbecue Grill Master who comes on every time talking pop culture and great grilling ideas. So we cover everything on the world of pop culture twice a week right there at the Pop Culture Cosmos, wherever you get your podcasts. And again, I am petitioning to everyone out there that the suggested next listen would be the PVD cast or vice versa.
All right. Well, let's talk about a match that's probably going to cause a little controversy. And the match I'm referring to for the Money in the Bank was the Usos versus the Street Profits. Jared, what do you think about this match? I'll let you start first before I give my controversial take.
I mean, again, when you have the Usos and you have this whole tag team division that has been run down, I mean, at this point, the tag team division in the WWE, just they seem to have no emphasis on it. So anything that the Usos seemingly want to do or do on their own outside of Roman Reigns seems to get subdued. So I thought this match had its moments, but really, again, when it comes down to it, the whole tag team division to me, my friend, is really at such a down low. I mean, you look at the teams that are vying or quote unquote for the titles, and they just, in the pantheon of WWE tag teams, even the New Day, which will go down as one of the most historic teams in the WWE, they're an afterthought at this point in time. So you see what's going on in the landscape of the actual tag team division. And I think this match is, when you saw it, I thought it was the execution had issues. Thought for there were some good parts out of it. There were some things you don't want to take from it, but overall, I just think it's just what the interest level, and I just think it correlates to what exactly, you know, the company thinks of the WWE tag division right now.
I did not like the match because I felt like it was too long. I mean, it went 23 minutes, Gerald. And
well, that is way too long.
That was way too long, and there were like 7,000 comebacks, and I just got lost from it. You know, and look, I know I'm an old school fan, but if you look at Theory and Lashley, that was a very good match. It had new school elements to it. It had old school elements to it.
But it put it right around the 15 to 17 minute mark, which right. I think that's a good timing right there.
Correct. That is exactly what I was saying. Is it told a great story in a short amount of time or a shorter amount of time than 23 yeah. minutes? This just seemed to like it was never going to end, and I just got bored with it. And I was just like, I want this to be over with. And we see how it impacted the following match with Natalya and Ronda Rousey. You can't convince me that you didn't have all those people just eating up all of those false finishes. And then you go to a very technical, dare I say, kind of Dean Malenko-like, methodic, technical type of showcase. Yeah. They were doomed. Those two were doomed. They were not going to get the crowd behind them.
And that's what happens, though, when your match placement and who's ever producing the matches, they say, okay, you guys can go out and do 23 minutes. And like, what are you going to do in those 23 minutes? You know, again, what are you going to do to get the crowd going? And then what are you going to do to go ahead and not burn them out? I think that's something where you look at your place on the card. You're what is that, third from the end?
Yes, it was third from the end. Correct.
Yeah, which is usually where they put the tag team title matches, unfortunately. How did I know that? See, I didn't even have to look. That's scary that I know that was the third match because that's exactly what they've been doing for quite a while. And if you burn a crowd out the third match from the end, that's really not good. And it is obviously showed in that next match. And yeah, to do that, to put in 23 minutes, I just didn't see the reason why. 15 to 17. It's a street match. That's great. It plays to a lot of positives, but don't put it out for 23 minutes unless you really have to, because a 15 to 17, I think, is a really nice 12 to 17 is a nice fit for most of the WWE matches that are there. I think some of them need to stay under 10, but for the most part, and especially a title match, 12 to 17, I think people will not get burnout.
Agreed. And this is a problem that I have talked about many, many times with AEW. That's my number one complaint, that we have 20-minute matches that don't need to be 20 minutes. Not on Dynamite, you know? I'm sorry. They can go eight minutes.
I mean, if there's like a world title match, right, two out of three falls, or you do a gimmick match, 30-minute limit or 60-minute limit, that's different. That comes once in a great while. People understand that. They can prepare themselves for it. You do a long cage match. You want to tell a story, etc. That's something you can throw out there once in a while. But don't do it every week because, again, you're just burning your audience out.
There's no reason for a 20-minute match that features Wheeler Utah versus Lee Johnson. There's no reason for that. So
exactly.
All due respect to those two individuals, but they don't need 20 minutes. No. All right, let's talk about our final Money in the Bank match. It is, of course, the men's version of the event. And right off the gates, we get a little switcheroo here. And it made what happened earlier in the show automatic. You figured it out. Austin Theory's automatically added to the match.
Without too much of an explanation.
Right. Like, when Adam Pearce was out there, I was like, just say these words. Mr. McMahon has said Austin Theory's, and just say that. That's all you need. That explains it away. Just do that.
The question I would have is, well, okay, he just lost this match against, Bobby. Why isn't Bobby in the match? You know, as a fan who would, if I was taking this seriously, if this were writing, movie writing 101, and I was grading it, I'm like, my gosh, the plot holes are so big, I could build a pool in it. You know, it's just, it really is sometimes so irritating. But the thing is, you and I can see this coming from a mile away. As soon as he dropped the title, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming with Theory. You know that the whole company, you can see the company is pushing Theory in that direction. They're going to make him at this point next year or the year after, he is going to be whatever they want to make him to be. He's going to be the top guy. Maybe Matt Riddle will be right there with him. That's still up for debate. We'll see what happens there. But the future is what they're banking on with those two individuals in regards to on the male side. So it's clear that they have great plans for him. And that's good. I think, again, he's an extremely talented individual. Needs to just get a little bit better on the mic, but is very confident in the ring, and it also shows up as far as whatever he's doing out there. So, again, the future is going to be very bright for him, and I'm glad to see that they're at least doing something to go ahead and promote that. Now, if they could just go ahead and stop promoting part-time champions, internet superstars, DJs that are now actually pretty good actors, then you have radio personalities, they're involved now too. See, it's okay. That's all those things that we've talked about in the past as being something as far as like, filler on the side, they'll get a Logan Paul or they'll get a Pat McAfee for something on the side. But now this company is more reliant. They're now more dependent on these part-timers, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Pat McAfee, Logan Paul, Bad Bunny, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Your company is now becoming so reliant on it, it comes at the cost of promoting your own talent that's there full time. And that's the problem. I wanted to go ahead and let you know.
you notice how
I correlated that into the game. But
no, you're on point tonight. I'll tell you that right now.
I will say, but I like that pool comment though. Hopefully you can clip that. I will say that though, the Money in the Banks match, it was pretty good for what it was. It's pretty good. It wasn't the best, Money in the Bank match I've ever seen, but with the as soon as he got announced, it kind of like deflated someone who's in the know or someone who could see what's coming, because you could see what's coming, but the path to get there, it was pretty good for what it was.
I was intrigued and wanted to see how Omos did in this match, because here you go, the 7 foot, 3 inch, 400 pound. How's he going to climb a ladder? Like, those ladders don't look like they're going to hold 400 pounds. And I thought the way that they kind of incorporated him into the match, very well done. I feel the way that they got rid of him, quote unquote, by throwing him through the table, and it took everybody to do it, I thought was unique. I thought that was a nice spot. Again,
literally, he just has to get up to the third step?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I enjoyed the men's Money in the Bank match. I thought it was pretty good. Again, Theory winning.
The work rate was good.
Yes, the work rate was good. I feel like the Theory winning was a little bit of a disappointment. But again, it does check the box of a new face. It's a new person at the top of the heap, so to speak. And, you know, we've been complaining that it's been the same old with a lot of these champions.
You're correct. You're right. And we can't be hypocritical on that.
Right.
We cannot be hypocritical on that. The thing is, though, in order to get there, you were hoping that Theory would get there through via another way. But as soon as, you know, he steps on that platform and he, you know, you knew what was going to happen, because of the fact that's always the case. The person that's put in there the last minute, 99% of the time, is going to win the match, you know, whatever aspect of it is, or that mystery partner at the last minute or whatnot. In this case, he was thrown in there without explanation, just thrown in there just because. And you knew, just because he dropped the title, that he was going to go ahead and get something else in return, just because you could see on WWE television just exactly the kind of hopes they have for him. And again, it's well deserved. I think he's on the rise. I think you can put him and Riddle and MJF, you know, as far as on the men's side, as far as the future of this business going forward, it would just, you know, hopefully, you know, keep my fingers crossed, none of them get any substantial injuries. But yeah, I think you can see that the future, even with all the talent signings that the WWE does, with all the, you know, the NIL and all the NXT individuals that are coming up, I think them, and maybe Bron Breakker you could throw in there too, as far as being the future of the industry. And is it at a point where it's healthy and good long term? I'm not so sure. But with those guys, at least I think, you know, the future of this business long term, at least it'll still be notable in some form or fashion.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Gerald for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles. They got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They've got a great pool system, a friendly staff, a clean store. Really, seriously, what more do you need? So stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online at wgcomics.com or through Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. Okay, last question dealing with the WWE. Are you looking forward to SummerSlam now, coming out of Money in the Bank and coming out of what happened Monday night?
You know what? I never look forward to whole cards. I think you've known me by now. I think I look forward to matches. I think I look forward to matchups. Like, I was disappointed that they didn't put at first Becky Lynch and Asuka to settle that feud on the MITB. But then again, they did their blow off match the next night in San Diego, and they gave them more time, and they gave out their probably one of the best matches on live television this year. So you know what? That's fine. The fans are a winner for that. But leading into SummerSlam, I mean, what are we going to get? The buildup is right now, if it is Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan, you know, Ronda Rousey seemed okay with just losing in 30 seconds right after that. You know, if you saw the after, you know, the ring, she's just shaking hands and, you know, smiling and things of that nature. And I'm like, okay, if I just lost in 30 seconds after I won a title match, I wouldn't be so happy about it. But okay, you know, I digress. That breaks the fourth wall there. But I really think that, again, that with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns again, and Miz versus, you know, the whole thing as far as, you know, him not actually being a, I don't know, Miz is still around relevant because that's the Miz, you know, I don't.
Well, really, and I think the rumors are Logan Paul. Yeah, and him at SummerSlam. Yeah,
because they want to base off that what they did as far as him turning on Logan Paul after their tag team match. And of course, they gave Logan Paul a 5-year contract, and now everybody's happy there. And you know, again, just nothing there yet excites me. So I can't tell you with honesty that I'm excited yet. But hopefully, there will be some matches coming along the way over the next couple of weeks that will get me excited. Because you know, right now the WWE seems to be at that point where, you know what, we can't, even if we do everything wrong, we're still going to get 1.75 to 2 million people watching our shows every single week, because that's the cut line. That's as far as low as we go. Now, if we can go ahead with all these signings and things of that nature that hopefully will gain interest, maybe we can go and increase our growths going forward. So I'm hoping to see over the next few weeks that they go ahead and build up as far as some good quality matches that will support some of these matches maybe I really don't care to see anymore. Because how many times have we talked about a Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match already?
Mm-hmm. But not to get off on another hour conversation, but they haven't built anybody else. That's the problem.
I mean, that's what I just said. Yeah, I mean, you've got the internet stars, you've got the radio show hosts, and you've got the part-timers. That's your business. Mm-hmm. I mean, all in the past 10 years, you've based a lot of your business off of it, but they've all been side to John Cena. They've all been on the side to whoever you're trying to promote. Now it seems to be more part of your main course, and that could lead to problems down the road in developing your talent as main eventers that people will get behind and go see down the road. But, that's the thing. That's the WWE. It wouldn't be the WWE if we didn't complain about the WWE, wouldn't it?
No, you're correct.
Absolutely. I mean, if everything was going great and we're saying, man, the WWE is doing a great job of booking right now, we'd be like, are we in like the Twilight Zone or something?
Submit it for your approval.
is this like a new Marvel dimension or something? Like Universe 939 or something? I don't know.
Gerald, this past week on the PVD cast, I sat down with a comic book creator who's done a fantastic luchador-themed comic book called The Fisherman. That gentleman, by the way, his name is Aaron Lindemann. And so it got me thinking. I knew that we were going to talk, and I threw it out there. Could you maybe name three of your favorite luchadors? Now, I made an error. I just assumed, knowing you like I know you, that you have three luchadors that are your favorites, Gerald. But maybe I'm wrong.
Are we talking about in the past? Or are we talking about in the current?
We're talking in the past. In the past, in the current, in all of wrestling history.
Wow. That's the thing. When you first saw, I mean, you could go, well, El Conic. I mean, I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time. I'm not a big fan of Mills Mascaris because I know that he was extremely hard to work with. Just ask Mick Foley. So I know how popular he is. So I don't want to dispute the popularity of Mills Mascaris. I know with me these days, for me, I think still, before injury set in, I loved Conan in the 90s, especially when he was leading the charge in AAA and CMML and when they were going back and forth. I miss those days when they were at each other's throats and people would jump left and right in New Week. And, people talk about the NWO and WWE, who's jumping which, to where this week. It was back then when the CMML and CMLL and the AAA were at each other's throats. It was great to see the people just jumping back and forth. I mentioned El Conic. Pentagon Jr. has always been a favorite of mine as well. And I think, Liz Mark Jr., my gosh. And then, of course, would you consider Eddie Guerrero a luchador for his time in AAA when he had that awesome hair match, at the Los Angeles Sports Arena? And, of course, how he, in our bar, which is creating so much controversy in AAA and all that.
Eddie Guerrero. I'll say that. Sure. He didn't wear a mask, but I'll accept that. I would accept Art Barr as well.
Okay. Because they were sensational as a tag team. They were one of the greatest tag teams in the 1990s that are probably forgotten about, but people don't understand how much heat that those two got and how talented they were at their peak as a tag mm-hmm. team working together. And if you ever go out of your way to see Worlds Collide, when Worlds Collide, that AAA spectacular, WCW spectacular that they presented pay-per-view wise, go out of your way to do so. But I would say Conan, pre-injury, pre-NWO, all the stuff that went on later in his life. I would say go check out Conan stuff early days, as far as in the early 90s, mid 90s. When he really started to grow. And of course, Rey Mysterio Jr. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's seen his stuff in America. Everybody's seen his stuff as far as on pay-per-views with WCW and WWE. But if you check out his early days, when he was even lighter than he was now, he was absolutely sensational. He was doing things then, which, we now take for granted these days. But he was at the forefront of what was going on. So, there's dozens of luchadors I could name going on, but my gosh, you know, when you go to Psicosis, you go to Juventud Guerrera, you get, you know, the list just goes on. The 90s luchadors and the 90s, you know, people romanticized, and I know I'm going off my old man tangent here, but there was so much good in professional wrestling in the 90s, you know, whether it's wrestling in Japan from both the men and a women's side, the women's especially, well, actually both men and women's wrestling in Japan. You've got the wrestling that was done in Mexico at that point in time. And then of course you got America overseas, Puerto Rico, et cetera, et cetera. Just tremendous. Just the 1990s gave you some of the best wrestling that we've ever seen. And I don't want to sound like that guy that's romanticizing, but you have to throw it out there. I just got this email about this this study that was done on supposedly best year for video games. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not even right. That's not even close. Statistically, you might say it's right. But when you look at it with two eyes, you're going to say differently. And that's what I feel about as far as Mexican wrestling, you know, Lucha Libre in the 90s. I think it's gotten no better than it did then. And, you know, it's still pretty good today. But yeah, just the name value for what it did in the 90s, along with the rest of pro wrestling, man. Just got to go back, man. Just got to go back in time and just bring some of that to here.
Well, you named a few on my list. Mil Máscaras, I was a fan of him. He was the first luchador I ever saw, Gerald. So
I know, like, but do you look behind the scenes?
I know, but he as a kid, he made an impact on me. That yeah, this guy of course,
because he was so tremendously popular. Yeah,
yes, yeah, and the pageantry. He had a pageantry about him. Yes. Rey Mysterio, of course, Rey Mysterio Jr., fantastic. I always thoroughly enjoyed La Parca. Yes. I thought La Parca, especially his stuff in the 90s, was great. Super Calo. I found a rapping luchador to be hilarious, and he was very good in the ring too. But
check out his matches in WCW, working with some of the guys there. Really, really underrated. And I mentioned Juventud Guerrera. I mentioned Psicosis. Those matches between those guys in both Mexico and the WCW were absolutely tremendous.
Mm-hmm. The Lucha Libre when it was on Nitro was the highlight of Nitro most of the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, you know, it was the Hogan era.
It was. You got that right, brother.
Yes.
All right.
I was going to NWO there.
All right. Gerald, let's talk one more time about the pop culture cosmos. And how is Lakers Fast Break? Is it on hiatus because the season's over now? Or
No. There's always, unfortunately, in Lakerland, you've always got to be talking Lakerland. And actually, we've got some of our best ratings right now on YouTube. We're over almost closing in on 8,000 hours watched as far as on our YouTube channel alone on the Lakers Fast Break. I mean, we cover the latest news and information on the NBA and Los Angeles Lakers at least twice a week. We don't do every game right now until the season starts when we do every, you know, we do all the post games. But right now we're still on at least twice a week. We're still getting tremendous response. I mean, on our Facebook, Twitch, mainly our YouTube, the response is growing by the day. I can't believe it. Been sensational. Yeah, the Lakers Fast Break, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course Pop Culture Cosmos. If you're into pop culture, we go ahead and just tell you and get you updated for the weekend. We get you prepared for the weekend on Friday show, and we get you up to speed on the Monday show. That's basically what it comes down to. So if you're interested in pop culture and wanting to know what's going on with the landscape of what's going on each and every time out, each and every week, we go ahead and set it up for you right there at the Pop Culture Cosmos.
Gerald, thanks, man, for coming on. I really enjoyed it, as I always do. I always enjoy chatting with you and talking with you. So thanks so much for taking some time out of your schedule.
Oh, always glad to be here, my friend. Don't put that ban on me again.
I'm going to investigate. I think somebody hacked my system, put a ban on you, because there's no ban. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. It's just a rumor indeed. Okay.
It's rumor and innuendo.
Last time I go ahead and check it out on Twitter. All right. Okay. Fair enough. My friend.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gerald Glassford talking about Money in the Bank and some of our favorite luchadors over the years. Again, please check out Gerald's podcast, Lakers Fast Break, and of course, the Pop Culture Cosmos. Oftentimes, I show up on the PCC, so you never know. But nonetheless, thanks, Gerald, once again. Please, folks, give him a listen. And I just want to real quickly recap once again that if you're interested in some great wrestling action next week in Central Ohio, there's plenty to check out, including July 14th, NOW, New Ohio Wrestling at the Fortress in Obetz, Ohio, at New Ohio Wrestling on Instagram and on Facebook, and newohiowrestling.com on the web, and New Ohio Wrestling on Twitter. And then 2 days later, on the 16th, which is Saturday, OWA Retaliation, the King of Clubs Complex, which is in North Columbus, 8 p.m., again, at Ohio Wrestling A1 across the social medias. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know where you can maybe get in touch with me since we're talking about social media. And there's a bunch of different ways you can do that. First of all, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for at PVDcast. And if you want, you can even email me. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. Now, I'm going to inform you as to where you can get the PVDcast, just in case you want to let somebody know about it. Obviously, it's available through PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting applications like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app. Just a bunch of different avenues. So all you got to do is go to whatever podcasting app you use. Just go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And now for the most important thing that you will do all day long. If you listen to any episode of the PVDcast, please rate and review it. It takes just a couple of minutes to help me out in the algorithm for all of these different outlets and apps and podcast places. It really is super important. So if you can, please rate, please review. You don't have to write a book. Just write great episode or loved it or whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me. And give me as many stars as you think I deserve. And you know what? While we're talking about it, don't forget as well that you can subscribe so that you never miss an episode of this glorious podcast. And there's been a little change in the schedule. On Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can hear the weekly episode through the Facebook page. Once again, that's at PVDcast. And again, it's an easy way to check it out. I know it used to happen on Monday nights, but I decided to move it over to Wednesdays to see if maybe we could, you know, drum up some new listeners and whatnot. So again, it's an easy way. You just go to facebook.com, look for PVDcast, and you can click and listen while, you know, you do whatever. You ride the stationary bike at the gym or, you're doing laundry, whatever. Any mundane task is a little bit better with a PVDcast in your ear. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to close up shop. So I am going to head on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.